got your Bibles. Amen. Psalm 92. Appreciate the good music. Amen. Did you enjoy that?
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 92. I taught him how to sing while I was in college. Amen. I'm just kidding. Well, Steve, I'm working on you. Amen. Psalm 92. All right. Look in verse number 1. If you've got your Bible, the Bible said it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we need you this morning. I need you. I thank you, God, for the good time we've already had, the good fellowship, the good singing, everything that's been done. I've enjoyed it. God, I look forward to what you have in store for us now. I pray that you touch me and help me to preach your word. Lord, I cannot do it on my own. I stand where the arm of flesh can and will fail without you. But God, Lord, with you, we can do all things. And that we're asking this morning for your unction, for your power, and your presence. I pray, God, you'd meet with us. Touch the young people downstairs. Help us here this morning. And all that's said and done may be done for your glory and your honor. And we'll thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. The psalmist said in verse number 1, it is a good thing to give thanks. I want to preach on that thought this morning. It's a good thing to give thanks. This psalm that we've read, if you've got a Bible with notes, a lot of times up above it, it'll say a psalm or a song for the Sabbath day. This psalm was used in olden days for the days of worship on the Sabbath for worship purposes. We see some truths in this psalm that concern the giving of thanks and why the psalmist was wanting to give thanks. We see some things about thanks in this psalm throughout the Word of God. Giving thanks is a subject of great importance. We see here there's a duty to you and I as children of God. There is a duty for us to give thanks. The Bible said it's a good thing to give thanks. When we think about giving thanks, we think that the Bible many times, several times, commands us to give thanks unto God. I'm thinking at least 5 or 6 times in 1 Chronicles chapter number 16, in verse 8, the Bible says, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people." In Psalm chapter number 30, in Psalm chapter number 30, in verse number 4, the psalmist said it like this. In Psalm 30, verse 4, he said, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." And we see here that giving thanks is an importance. In Psalm chapter number 97, this command is given again. Psalm 97, in verse number 12, the psalmist said, "Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, the Bible said, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." You and I, children of God, as God's saints, His people, we have a responsibility, we have a duty that we are to give thanks. We are to give thanks to His name. And then the Bible says not only something about a duty, but the Bible says something about the delight of giving thanks. For you and I to give thanks, the Bible said it is a good thing. It is a good thing. Man, I like good things. Don't you like good things? Y'all awake this morning. The Bible said a man findeth a wife, man, he finds a good thing. Amen? Now, I've picked on my wife for several years since we've been married, and I call her my good thing. Amen? And I'm thankful for my good thing this morning. But the Bible said it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. A good thing. Doesn't say it's a bad thing. Doesn't say it's a burdensome thing. Doesn't say it's a hard thing to do. Doesn't say it's a bitter thing. Doesn't say it's a worrisome thing. Doesn't say it's a weighing me down thing. The Bible says it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. The word good has the idea of something that is pleasant or something that's agreeable, something that is excellent or something that is beautiful. Amen. One of the marks of the Spirit-filled child of God in Ephesians chapter number 5, where he said, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God. I'm saying it's one of the marks of the Spirit-filled, joyful, victorious Christians. Hey, one of the marks or the evidences in his life is that he's a thankful individual. Amen. A thankful individual. Let me ask you a question. Do you like to be around somebody that's ungrateful? I've been around some children, amen, of late. And you get around some children and they're the most ungrateful, spoiled, rotten people. They think they get everything because they got everything. Are you with me? You get around some of them, and Brother Steve, you've probably witnessed, I've witnessed, man, you get around some children, and you wonder, why in the world don't mama take out that leather strap, amen, and give them an attitude adjustment, amen? Man, I've been around children that are ungrateful and think that they deserve everything, and they're never grateful for what they have, they're just ungrateful for what they don't have, and they're demanding and selfish and just spoiled. But I've been around some adults that's the same way. Are you listening to me? I've been around some adults that I just don't like to be around because they're ungrateful. I'm talking about they're miserable people, amen? Miserable. They're never grateful about the things that they do have. They're always ungrateful for what they don't have. Let me ask you a question. You don't like to be around children that are like that. Do you think God wants to be in the presence of His children if we're like that? It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Listen, the preacher or somebody ought not have to beg you to testify and to talk about the goodness of the Lord and brag on. I'm talking about it's a delight, amen, to you and I. It ought to be a delight. It ought to be something that's beautiful. It ought to be something that just flows from our lips. Hey, it is a good thing to give thanks. It's a good thing to give thanks. Listen, man, I'm telling you what, man. You could have went to the prison and saw somebody. You could have been locked up in prison, amen, this morning. You could have went to the hospital. You could be locked up, hey, listen, in the middle of a mental ward somewhere. You could be sitting on a hospital floor somewhere, couldn't get out, wouldn't have the health to get out. Hey, listen, you'd have a lot to grumble and complain about, but you're sitting up in a church, an old-fashioned Bible-believing, hey, King James only, amen, old-fashioned singing, old-fashioned preaching. You're sitting in a church with people that love you, hearing about a God who loved you so much He gave His only begotten Son, and you can't give thanks. You got a grumble, you got a frown on your face. It's a good thing to give thanks. Amen. Not only is it our duty, not only is it our delight, but I see something about the direction of our thanks. We thank a lot of people, but why don't we thank God? He said it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. There's the direction of our thanks. We ought to give thanks unto the Lord. We ought to, listen, say thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord. Hey, listen, for Calvary. Thank you for salvation. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You just can't thank Him enough. We ought to give our thanks to the Lord, amen. You say, well, I thank my lucky stars. Why don't you get a little adjustment up there in your head and think straight for a second. You ain't got no lucky stars. Amen. Why don't you thank the Lord God of heaven? I thank my lucky star. I thank my luck. Listen, you ain't got no lucky stars. You've got a God in heaven. You've got a providential God who's all powerful. Amen. And He's able to intervene in your life. He's able to make a difference. You ought to give thanks unto the Lord. Well, it's just my lucky day. Well, good for you. Amen. Hey, I'm going to give my thanks to the Lord in heaven. Amen. The direction. Notice something about the timing. I see. You say, preacher, I give thanks when I feel like it. I give thanks, preacher, when everything is going good. Notice verse number 2. He said, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. Thy loving kindness, speaking of God's goodness, His kindness, His favor, His mercy towards us. Thank God He's got favor on us. Amen. He said, in the morning. Y'all going to have to wake up. What about Monday morning, preacher? Watch verse 2. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. He's saying, listen, I want to show forth. I want to proclaim. I want people to see his loving kindness in the morning. This, he's speaking of his loving kindness in the morning. The psalmist, the idea is, I just got up out of bed. I'm about to start my day. And as I start my day, I want to look and I want to make much of what God will do in my life. What he will do. I'm looking at God's favor. I'm looking at his kindness. I'm looking at his goodness and his mercy and how he's been good to me. And I'm looking at what God's going to do for me today. It's not Monday morning. Oh, junk. It's another Monday. Hey, wait a minute. How about thank you, Lord, for another Monday? Thank you, Lord. I'm looking forward to what you're going to do, because not only do I have to live another Monday, but God, you gave me another day, and I'm looking forward to how you're going to bless me. I'm looking forward to how you're going to take care of me. I'm looking forward to how you're going to give me a good day. I'm looking forward to how you're going to meet my needs. I'm looking forward to how you're going to use me. I'm saying, hey, listen, Monday is not a grunting day. Monday ought to be a grateful day. Yeah, man, you could maybe not wake up. He said, to show forth thy love and kindness in the morning. And he said, in thy faithfulness every night. So not only in the morning I'm thanking and praising and thanking God for what he will do, but in the evening, every night, I want to talk about his faithfulness. I want to thank God for what he has done. See, in the morning I get up and I'm looking at what God's going to do for me throughout the day. But in the night when I get home, and listen, everybody knows you're supposed to go to bed at night. Amen. All right, amen. I don't know where they got that third shift stuff. But watch this now. You go to work in the morning, and when you come home at night, you look back over your day and you say, God took care of me today. God's been faithful. But God's been true to his word. And listen, he's taking care of me just like he did yesterday, just like he did last week. Listen, I'm looking forward in the morning how he's going to take care of me today. But in the night, I'm looking back and saying, look what God has done for me. His faithfulness. We see what God has done. He says in verse 6 about the brutish man. He said, the brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand. The brutish man meaning the stupid person. That's what the word brutish means. It means stupid, or he's arrogant, he's foolish, because he's left God out of the equation. He has not God in his life. The Bible does say that the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. All right, are you with me? So the person without understanding, because God is not in his equation, he's just about like the cattle of the field, amen? He's brutish. And he said, the brutish knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. And then he gives some things in verse 7 through 9. The psalmist gives some things that he's thankful for. Number one, verse 7 through 9, he sees the judgment of God on the wicked. He looks at the wicked, and many of us would wonder, why does the wicked prosper? Why does it seem that, listen, I'm living for God and they're not, but everything's just doing great for them? What he says here in verse 7 through 9 is that when the wicked spring as grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is day that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forever. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. The psalmist said, God's going to have his day. God will judge the wicked. They may have their fun now, amen. They may live in sin now and think they're prospering. They may live in sin today. They may live a life of transgression and think they're getting by with it. But honey, paydays are coming someday. The wages of sin is still death. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You can brag on it. You can be happy about it. You can live a good time. But I want to tell you this morning, hey, Moses was still wise and he was still the man of faith, because he chose not to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen. Sin is pleasurable for a season. But sin's got a payday. Now, I'm telling you, there's a day of reckoning coming, amen. You sow your wild oats, hey, you'll reap wild oats, amen, amen. I'm simply saying, the wicked has his day coming. God's going to judge the wicked. But in verse 10 through 15, he talks about not only how God's going to judge the wicked, but God's going to bless his righteous saints. Amen. Amen. Verse 10 through 15, he said, my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I will be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes shall see my desire upon mine enemies. Mine ears shall hear my desire upon the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar. And let man, I'm talking about, hey, listen, there's coming a day of produce. There's coming a day that, listen, we'll be established, and God's going to bless his people. Verse 13 says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. I like verse number 14. He said, they shall bring forth fruit in old age. Many times we look at the young people, he said, they shall bring fruit in old age.
I'm talking about if you learn to sow right now when you're old. Hey, boys and girls, if you learn to live for Jesus when you're young, you can enjoy it when you're old. If you live for the world now, you're going to regret it, amen. You put things in your body. You take your body and do things now. You think you're having a good time. I promise you, when you're 60, when you're 70, when you're 80, you're going to regret it. Well, I can. Yeah, you can, but you will pay. I like it though. He said they shall bring forth fruit in old age. Man, I thank God. It doesn't matter how old you are. I think about old Caleb, man. Old Caleb, 80 years old. Hey, give me that mountain. God had a promise for him, amen. He said, but I like this next verse. Some of y'all like this. He said they shall be fat and flourishing, amen. You realize when the Bible speaks of being fat, it ain't a curse, it's a blessing, amen. Amen. That's why that apple pie is good, amen. He said, to show the Lord is upright, he's my rock, there is no unrighteousness in him. So the psalmist looks at all these things and he's looking back. And in verse 4 and 5, he said, he's talked about how the Lord has made me glad through thy word. He said, I will triumph. That word triumph has the idea that I'll have a shout of victory. I'll be singing a song of praise. I'll be shouting for joy. He's looking at all God's works. He's looking at what God's going to do to the wicked. He's looking at what God's going to do to the righteous. He's looking at everything God's done in his life. And he says, you caused me to triumph. He said, I'm a victor. I can praise the Lord. I can shout with victory. Amen. Verse 5. He said, oh Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. God, you're so good. You've done so much. Your works are beyond understanding. Your thoughts are above my thoughts. God, your works are so great. I don't understand it all, but I can just stand back and say thanks. No wonder in verse 1, he said, it is a good thing. No wonder he said, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. I call your attention that in our day, Thanksgiving is coming. Thanksgiving holiday is coming up pretty soon. In our day, Thanksgiving is pretty much overlooked many times. We go straight from Halloween, the devil's day, amen. We go straight from when people celebrate Halloween, and then we go straight. It used to be we'd see pilgrims and turkeys and engines and all that stuff set up in the stores, but rarely. You let me know when you see one, because I've already seen them. Listen, right at the end of Halloween season, I'm talking about before they even got the Halloween decorations up, they already had Christmas trees going up. Listen, I'm for Christmas. I'm for all the festives and have a good time and let's have a good fun holiday and all that. I'm for all that. Hey, but why are we skipping right over the season of thanks? The time when our nation has always set aside to show our gratitude and our thanks to the God of heaven seems as if, I'll tell you why, because in 2 Timothy in chapter number 3, the Bible talks about in the last days, he said this perilous time shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And he said, from such turn away. In the midst of all those wicked things, he said, unthankful. He said, in the last days, perilous times will come. And one of the characteristics of these perilous times, these troubled times, is an unthankful generation. He said, that's going to be the mark. James chapter number 4, verse 17, there's a principle we need to learn in the Word of God. The Bible said in James chapter number 4, verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. Now hold on. Y'all compare scriptures with me. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. It is a good thing to give thanks. Amen. Psalm 92:1, it is a... Everybody say good thing. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Amen. And to sing praise. So it's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. That's not a charismatic thing. Amen. Are you listening to me? Nobody's got a monopoly on that. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Everybody go like this. You're breathing. You're a good candidate to praise the Lord. Amen. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not. To him, it is a good. You get up, you go to grumbling and complaining. Let me ask you a question. Are you in the will of God? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. Let me just say it like this. According to what I'm reading in the Bible, It's a sin. It's not only a bad thing, but it's a sin to be unthankful. And it's a sin to be ungrateful. Are you with me? I want to encourage you this morning. I want to help you. I'm trying to encourage us to be grateful people. People that will thank the Lord for all he's done. Because listen, the Bible said he inhabits the praises of his people. Hey, you start thanking him and praising him and seeing if he don't show up and say, hey, I like his talk. And he'll show up. You want God to intervene in your life? You want God to show up and be present in your life? I'm talking about a tangible presence. You want the power of God and the presence of God in your life? Just start thanking him and praising him for all he's done. For all he's done. Man, he's been so good to you. I'm saying, listen, the principle is, therefore to him knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. You say, preacher, I want to do something that pleases the Lord. Preacher, I want to do the will of God. Preacher, I want to do something that's good in God's eyes. I want to do something that pleases. I want to do something that God would think was pleasant and beautiful. I'll tell you one thing to do, give thanks. Just start giving thanks. You say, preacher, I don't know what I can give thanks for. Well, that's why I come this morning. I just want to tell you some things that I'm thankful. Y'all let me testify for a few moments. I want to do a good thing for a little while. Can y'all bear with me for a little? Brother Eric, can we handle about 20 minutes of me just telling you how good God's been to me? Number one, I want to say this. I want to say I want to thank God for scriptures that are right. Amen. I want to thank God for the King James Bible. Amen. I want to thank God for the scriptures. I want to thank God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 says, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. That is, every bit of it's breathed out of God's mouth. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for adoption, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. I want to thank God for the word of God, that God has inspired his word. I want to thank God that not only did he inspire his word, but that he preserves his word. Psalm 12, verse 6, he said, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation and forever. I want to thank God. Psalm 19, verse 7 said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. I'm talking about the word of God. I'm talking about the scriptures that are right. Psalm 119, verse 8 and 9, thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. Amen. I'm talking about Psalm 119, 140, thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. Amen. I'm talking about the word of God. I'm talking about 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 23, where he talked about being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I'm talking about the scriptures that are right. I don't have to wonder this morning, is this what God said? Is this part God's word? Is this part not God's word? I just say, I can open up this book, and with all faith and with all assurance, I can open up this King James Bible and know that God said in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and know that God said everything from the end of the beginning to the last amen. That's God's word, and I can put my assurance, I can put my faith, I can put my confidence in the fact that this is God's word. Thank God. Listen, there's a lot of people today saying, well, this part I don't know about, and they're trying to dissect. We don't have to dissect it. We need to declare it, amen. We need to depend upon it. Science proves that this book is true, amen. History proves that this book is true. Biology proves that this book is true. Let me just give you one. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Years before anybody picked that out of the Bible, in Leviticus chapter number 17, they were draining people's blood, thinking they were sick. Well, drain their blood. Their blood's what's got to be making them sick. History tells us that possibly our first president, George Washington, was killed by the letting of blood. He would go to the barbershop, they'd cut him and let blood out, thinking that blood would get out, he'd get better. In reality, when they took the blood out, the blood is what gave him his life. And without blood, you can't live. Somebody was reading the Bible one day, and the Bible said in Leviticus 17, 11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. They said, wait a minute, maybe we need blood. The idea and the principle of quarantine came from the Bible. Somebody was reading the Bible during the Black Plague. In Europe, man, people were dying. People were getting sick. And listen, somebody read in the Bible how when somebody had leprosy, they quarantined them. They put them out of the city, took them away from everybody. They said, wait a minute, let's try that. And guess what happened? It helped. I'm talking about over and over and over again. Hey, men used to think all kinds of things about the world. Men thought that the world was sitting on a pole somewhere. And the Bible said that God has hung the earth on nothing. The astronauts went to space. They looked back and they saw the earth. They said, guess what the earth's hanging on? It's not on a turtle's back. It's not on a pole. It's not on a pillar. The earth is hanging on nothing, just like God said it was. We say, preacher, I'm saying this Bible is true. I thank God this morning. I want to say thank you, Lord, for the book of God. Hey, the Bible that's true, that's right. Amen. Thank God for scriptures that are right. Then I want to stop. I don't want to stop there. I want to say this. I thank God for a salvation that's real. Amen. I want to thank God for salvation that's real. I'm not hoping I'm saved this morning. I'm not wanting to be saved. I'm not wishing I was saved. I'm not working on being saved. I am saved. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter number 40, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I thank God for a salvation that's real. I thank God. The Bible said in John 5:24, Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come to condemnation, but is passed, already is passed from death unto life. Oh, thank God. Hey, listen, I got saved by believing on his word. Thank God. And believing on him that sent him. Thank God. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God I'm not working to be saved. Thank God I can't earn my salvation. Thank God if I could, I wouldn't. Amen. Hey, because I thank God salvation is by grace. Amen. Right. He didn't say, for by grace you might be saved. For by grace you ought to be saved. He said, for by grace are you saved. Amen. If you're saved this morning, you've been saved by the good grace of God. And if you hadn't had the good grace of God work in your life, you're not saved. Amen. Titus chapter number 3, Paul said it like this. He said, excuse me, he said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, S-A-V-E-D, by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. I want to say thank God that I'm saved. Amen. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:15. Hey, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You were saying, preacher, I thank God for a salvation is real. He said in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. I thank God that he came. I thank God that he convicted. And thank God he converted my life. Amen. I'm talking about, I thank God for a salvation that's real. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 verse 12, he said, for this which cause also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He's able, friends. He's able. Listen, thank God, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be, not might be, not could be, but shall be. Tells me by faith, if I put my faith in Jesus Christ, call out on the Lord Jesus Christ, ask him to save me, the Bible says I'm saved. Amen. 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 13, the Bible says, in 1 John 5:13, the word of God says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, K-N-O-W, that ye have, that's presently, have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Listen, I'm talking about a salvation that is real. Now listen, I'm talking about that John 9:25. That old boy was going around, he'd been blind. Jesus healed him, opened his eyes, and they was asking him, is he a sinner? Who is he? And that old boy said, if he's a sinner or not, I don't know. He said, but this one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. Amen. Listen, there's a lot of things I don't know. There's a lot of things about the Bible I don't know. There's a lot of things about the Christian life I don't know. There's a lot of things about life in general I don't know. But there's one thing I do know. I do know that January the 10th, 1999, the person of the Holy Ghost came by my way. He convicted my heart January 10th. Hey, listen, 1999, the Holy Ghost burnt me into the family of God, and I know I'm saved. I'm not saved by my good works. I'm not saved by my church membership. I'm not saved by any other thing than the good grace of God that came by my way, and God shed the grace of God in my life, and he saved me, and he birthed me, and he made me a brand new creature, and I want to stand and say I thank God today for a salvation that's real. Amen. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth making intercession for them. Salvation is real. Scriptures, that's right. Sin stains that are removed. I'm thanking God this morning for sin stains that are removed. I'll be real careful, but I'll be transparent as I can. There's things in my past that I'm glad you don't know about. There's things in my past I wished I could forget. But there's things in my past that I can't forget that God already did. Amen. And when the devil seems to remind me of them things, God takes me to his word. And it seems as if he says, what sins are you talking about? Amen. I don't remember them anymore. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. You've heard me quote and read these scriptures before. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, in verse number 9, the Apostle Paul, he's given a whole list of things of individuals that will not go to heaven. He said, know you not. Excuse me, 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators. There went about 98% of us. Nor idolaters. There went the rest of us. Are y'all listening? Nor adulterers. Nor effeminate. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves. Nor covetous. Nor drunkards. Nor revilers. Nor extortioners. Anybody I leave out? None of these, he said, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And watch verse 11. And such were some of you. Now I'm thinking God were's past tense there. And such were, he didn't say such are, he said such were some of you. But, don't y'all like when God butts in? But ye are, what's that word? Washed. But ye are washed. The word, the idea washed, but ye have been dipped in a bucket of blood. You've been washed completely, like taking a bath. But ye are washed. You used to be an adulterer. You used to be effeminate. You used to be a fornicator. You used to be an idolater, an adulterer, a drunkard. You used to be those things. But ye are washed. Yet they're gone. What sins you talking about? Don't remember me. Been washed. But you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Revelation 1:5. Now unto him that loved us and washed us in his own blood from our sins. You say, what I get washed in? The baptistry? No, he said, you've been washed in his own blood. Those sins before you got saved, amen. When you, the moment you got saved, the moment, I just want to say thank God for sin stains that are removed. He washed me, man. He took me in that bucket of blood, man. He poured that blood on me. And I thank God there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's. And sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stain. It ain't that I wasn't guilty, amen. It ain't that I didn't do no sin. I did plenty of sinning, but thank God, God did some saving, amen. I just want to thank God for sin stains that's been removed. Thank God that, listen, I thank God for those things in the past I don't have to give an account for. And when the devil starts reminding me of my past, I can just remind him of his future. Amen. Thank God, watch this. Thank God, 1 John 1:7 is in the book. Not just to the unbeliever that would get saved and his sins would be washed away, but to the believer who sins while he's saved. The Bible said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. See what we're talking about, preacher? I'm talking about, listen, since you've been saved, you haven't been perfect. Don't think you've had it all together since you. And listen, those things, since you've been saved, if you'll walk with him and if you'll confess, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if you'll do some confessing, he'll do some cleansing. Now, he ain't going to cleanse if you don't confess, but if you do the confessing, he'll do the cleansing. Amen. Are you listening? Amen. I want to thank God for sin stains that are removed. I want to thank God for situations that are remedied. Situations that are remedied. I'm talking about, I don't have time to read all the scriptures, but in Mark chapter number 4 and verse, in chapter number 5, you go over and you see how God displays in the life of Jesus the power of God in Jesus' life. He displays power over disasters. His disciples are out on the sea one night in a storm, and Jesus comes and calms the storm. He has power over disasters. He had powers over the demonic, over demons. Amen. He had power over disease, that woman with the issue of blood. He had power over death in Jairus' daughter. I'm simply saying he has the power to remedy your situation. You say, preacher, you don't know what I'm facing. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what's going on in my family. You don't know what's going on at my house. You don't know what's going on at where I work. You don't know what's going on with such and such. I don't know what you're going on in your life, but I know the God of all power, and I know the one that you can call anytime, any place, any day, and he's got the power to show up, amen. And he can make a message out of a mess, amen. He can turn your life and take a test and turn it into a testimony, amen. I'm simply saying I've seen homes restored. I've seen lives put back together. I've seen individuals who I thought there was no hope for. I've seen God come by in grace and mercy. I've seen him restore that individual. I've seen people who had no hope. I've seen God give them a bright future. I've seen hope restored. I've seen God change families. I've seen God change financial situations. I've seen God change futures. I'm telling you, whatever mess is in your life, God can take it and he can make it anew. Amen. I'm simply saying he can take situations that we think are messed up and beyond hope, and he can take that situation and he said he can make a remedy for it, because I'm telling you this morning, Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Jeremiah 33:3, he said to Jeremiah while Jeremiah was in a prison, in Jeremiah 32:17, he said, I'm the Lord. He said, and there's nothing too hard for thee. And then in chapter 33, verse 3, he said, call unto me and I will answer and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. There's nothing too hard for God. You say, well, preacher, you just don't understand my family and this and that and that. There's nothing too hard for God. Nothing. Let me give you this one. Ephesians 3:29, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we even ask or think. What about that? He's able, friends. He's able to take situations. Remember, let me say this. I thank God for saints that are rejoicing. Thank God for saints that are rejoicing. Hey, over in Psalm 40, we read it, and he talked about how he set my feet upon a rock, established my going. And then that next verse, verse 3, he said, and put a new song in my mouth. Put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it. Well, I thank God. Listen, I just want to say I thank God when I go into church and I hear people saying amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and glory to God. I hear people singing the songs of Zion. I wouldn't give you a wooden nickel for a lot of these churches. It's so cold when you walk in them, you thought you walked into a morgue. I'm just trying to be honest this morning. I thank God for saints that rejoice. I'm talking about Psalms 47:1. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. You say, preacher, what about all that shouting? Well, the Bible says to do it, so I'm going to do it. Amen. The Bible said let everything that had breath praise the Lord. It didn't say if you felt like it, praise the Lord. It didn't say if you had a good week at work, praise the Lord. It didn't say if you was healthy, praise the Lord. It didn't say, listen, if you had a lot of money in your bank account, praise the Lord. Listen, what it said was if you had breath, let everything have breath, praise the Lord. Amen. Paul was in a prison in Philippians. He said, Philippians 4, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I'm talking about beat, mistreated, thrown in prison. And he's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We already said in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine or success, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What are you doing? You're rejoicing because the goodness of God. You're filled with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is gentleness and goodness and faith. And all those fruits. And it's beginning to bubble up. And listen, you're speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What are you doing? You're rejoicing. You're praising the Lord. Hebrews chapter number 13, he talked about that sacrifice of praise. Y'all don't want to hear that. Hebrews chapter number 13. Has anybody got time for that one? I'm talking about saints that are rejoicing. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 15. Listen to what he said. He said, by him, that is by Jesus, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise. That means it might cost you something. Might cost you some pride. It might cost you your dignity. Let him offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How often? Continually. That ain't just at church. That ain't just when the song's being sung. That ain't just when you feel like it. Continually, that is the fruit of our, what's he saying? Lips. Somebody said, well, I praise him with my life. Well, the Bible says praise him with your lips. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. There it is, black and white. You either believe the Bible or you don't. Thank God. I want to say thank God for some saints to rejoice. Can I say it was happy Christians? And I'm talking about, I'm not saying always happy, go lucky. I'm talking about happy as in rejoicing. that made me want to get some of what they had. You get around people who look like they've been sucking with persimmons all day. Well, I love Jesus. Don't do that. God said, don't do that. You ought to do that. How contagious is that? The Bible says, don't do that. The Bible says, you got to go to church. The Bible also says, rejoice in the Lord always, friend. I'm talking about rejoicing in the things of God. And I do have bad days. I have things that go wrong. You have things that go wrong. You face situations in your life. You may face hard circumstances. You may have health problems, financial problems, family problems. Hey, but in the midst of it all, if you know Jesus, you've got joy. Because walking somewhere, hey, and when you go down through the deep, darkest parts of your life, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's always there. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. Hey, listen, if you got Jesus, you got joy. Amen. If you got joy, you got a reason to rejoice. Amen. Thank God for rejoicing saints. I want to say thank God for a Savior that is returning. Amen. Don't get too excited about it, but Jesus is coming. I mean, don't take it literal or nothing, but he said, if I go, I'm coming again. I mean, don't get too excited about it. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen. My treasures, they're laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The heavens beckon me. The heavens open door, and I don't even want to feel at home in this world anymore. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Amen. And receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm simply saying Jesus is coming. Acts 1, when Jesus went away, in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 11, listen to what the two angels said in Acts chapter number 1. They said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall soon come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. What did he say? He said, this same Jesus, not another one, but this same one. This one who died for you, who was buried, who rose again, who walked on this earth, this same Jesus you've watched ascend into heaven. He said, just like he's went away, he's coming back someday. I'm telling you, the promise is still true. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Somebody said, well, he's going to send his angels. He's going to do some things with angels. But I'm telling you what, when he comes for me, he's coming himself. You say, prove it, preacher. Think I will. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He didn't say the angel. He said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead of Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. I'm telling you, I can be thankful this morning. I can give God praise and say, thank you, Lord, for a promise that I've got a Savior that's returned. I'm telling you, it may be tomorrow, it may be today. Listen, I don't know if it's going to be evening, morning, or noon. I just know this, he's coming, and it could be soon. I'm simply saying to you, Jesus is coming. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Amen. I'll say this real quick. And I won't give you a whole lot of scripture, but I'll say this. I thank God for Satan being ruined. You say, what are you talking about? Listen, do you know his days are numbered? Amen. Do you know Genesis 3:15? The Bible said like this. It's what he told the serpent. He said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Watch this, it shall bruise thy head. And that's exactly what Jesus did at Calvary. It shall bruise thy head. He said, thou shalt bruise his heel. At Calvary, amen? At Calvary, Jesus got a bruise on his heel. Are you listening to me? He stepped on something and got a bruise on his heel. But what he stepped on was Satan, and he got his head busted. Amen. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm talking about at Calvary, God delivered a death blow to Satan himself. Amen. And the only power Satan's got today is delegated power. The only power he's got is power that God says, you can do this, and you can only go that far. Right. And I'm telling you that his days are numbered. I'm telling you Satan's ruined. I'm telling you the Bible talks about how we'll walk on him. Hey, listen, I can't find the verse. I think it's in 1 Corinthians 16 right now. But I'm telling you, we'll tread him under our feet. I'm telling you one day, listen, Jesus is coming. Satan's going to be cast into the lake of fire forever and forever and forever. I'm telling you, Satan is ruined. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm just giving you some things that I'm thankful for. The Bible said it's a good thing to give thanks. It's a good thing to give thanks. So I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for sins being removed. Amen. Thank you for saints that rejoice in situations you've remedied. I don't have time to go into all the things that God, and I've been in situations in my life and said, man, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to get through. And when you get on the other side, you think, man, that wasn't that big of a deal after all. God took care of it. And I'm looking forward to my Savior coming back. I'm thankful for the promise. I'm thankful. Listen, what a promise. What a promise. And if I go away, prepare a place for you. He said, I will come again. Let me ask you this morning. Mass this morning, we're done. If he comes today, are you ready? If he's to come today, do you know that you go with him? They stand all across the altar, heads bowed, eyes are closed. She's beginning to play something very softly. You mind the Lord. Maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. You want to be saved. You need to be saved. Won't you ask the Lord to save you today? And then maybe you're here today and you're a Christian. And maybe God just reminded you of some things that you need to be thankful for. Maybe God's reminded you, hey, you hadn't been as grateful as you ought to be. You hadn't thanked me enough. Maybe you just want to come down to the altar this morning and start thanking him. Maybe you just want to come and say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. You mind the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, take the message, use it according to your will as you see fit. Have your hand upon us. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Oh, God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. There's several already around the altar.